Welcome to the Disney Magic Podcast. I'm Joel.
And I'm Megan.
And we like to talk about Disney things. Specifically this week, we are talking about Chicken Little.
That's a thing that happened.
Are you really conscious about how you respond?
Yeah, now I'm like super aware of what I say about dope movies as soon as you talk about them. Like, yep, that's a thing.
Chicken Little was the first fully in-house CGI movie that Disney has made, which I guess they say because Dinosaur was part live action.
Yeah, I guess so.
The really nice water.
Yeah, the nicest water in the world. Yep.
So, Chicken Little came out in October 3rd, 2005 for Los Angeles, and then November 4th everywhere else.
So. Okay.
It had an early premiere. But then, you know, we're back to November releases.
Yes.
It was also the first Disney film, or the Disney animated film, to only be released on DVD. No VHS release for this one.
Oh, no.
So, yeah. Hmm. This is it. This is the line.
This is the line. The VHS mm-hmm. line.
Yeah.
That seems really late.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I remember because Star Wars 1 and 2 are on VHS, but not 3.
Oh, that's weird.
It's like the cutoff was in 2005 at some point.
Oh, that's accurate.
History of Violence was the last movie to be released, to like main Hollywood movie to be released on
VHS.
Random fact that I know.
Good. Good random fact.
Yep. And it's obviously based on The Sky is Falling or Chicken Little.
Okay. Okay, so the funniest thing about this to me is that my knowledge of Chicken Little is not necessarily the original tale. I totally remember the Stinky Cheese Man version. Best. So I remember the sky is falling, we must go tell the president.
Yep.
So everything in this movie is tainted by that, which is really awkward, because I love that version.
Well, so. This is like the second time Disney's done Chicken Little. They did a short in 1943. Mm-hmm. Chicken Little, and Foxy Loxy was the bad guy in that one, too.
Yeah.
And so I don't remember if Foxy Loxy was actually
bad in
a bad version, or just one of the, Goosey Lucy rhymey namies.
I don't remember.
So, I don't know.
Because, again, I just remember the Stinky Cheese version. So, it also tainted the Ugly Duckling, because in the Stinky Cheese version, the Ugly Duckling was just, in fact, an ugly duck. So I don't think of Ugly Duckling in this movie, turning into a beautiful son. Well, I think of her staying an ugly duck.
Ugly Duck never grew up in this one, so, yep.
Yeah,
yeah. There's a storyteller named Willie Claflin, who I listen to, and he has this moose puppet who tells stories and tells a story called The Uglified Ducky. And that's the story I know, is The Uglified Ducky, where it turns out the duck was actually a moose.
we probably should have found some picture book for reference to remember the actual story of the ugly duckling and the actual story
of Chicken Little. Well, the thing is, I didn't even think about it until I was reading about this old 1943 short, which apparently it was a propaganda short because Foxy Loxy was a bad guy because he's reading Mein Kampf, and I was like, oh, well.
That's good.
And then in an updated version, he's reading a book that's labeled Psychology.
I don't know that that's better. What is that saying about psychology?
But he's still, the passages are still from Mein Kampf. So, that's...
That just seems mean to psychologists.
Propaganda film. Also, really interesting, at, happenstance around the time of this release, was this is when Disney and Pixar's contract or agreement, their production deal, was, really close to being expired. Is it going to originally expire at Cars? And so, part of the negotiations all really depended on how Chicken Little was going to do at the box office, because, if it did really well, Disney could be like, it did really, really well, and we don't need any more. You know, otherwise, Pixar could use it as legs. You can't produce these quality CGI films without us. Mm-hmm. And so, all the negotiations were held off to see how Chicken Little did at the box office, and it did, okay.
That's awkward. So, now what?
So it's kind of unknown, who really used the Chicken Little card at the negotiations
table. Maybe nobody did. Maybe that was for the best.
Because, it definitely it underperformed compared to Pixar products, but Disney's just come off of you know, Treasure Planet and Brother Bear and Home on the Range, which all, you know, did pretty badly. Yeah. So it was actually, I think it was the first number one movie for Disney opening weekend since Tarzan. So
what else was out in the theaters?
Dare I ask? I don't know. November,
whatever's in November.
So, well, that's the thing, is like right then there's not a whole lot of kid options, which is why Disney hits the November thing. But let's jump into this film. We start off with this castle, and it's this weird looking castle.
Well, okay, first of all, it looks like the Sleeping Beauty Castle in California. Specifically, like I recognize it.
Yeah.
Which is really weird because their logos have consistently been kind of ambiguous. They've been a castle, but it's never specifically looked like a theme park castle or like a castle in a particular movie. I tend to see that people who are Disney World people automatically assume it's Cinderella's castle, and people who are Disneyland people automatically assume it's Aurora's, but it's actually neither. It doesn't look much like either, so it's really weird that this one logo, I don't know if it's in bold. Is it in bold? Do you remember?
I don't think so. Like, that's the first thing. And we never saw it again.
But it's weird that it looks specifically like the Disneyland Sleeping Beauty castle.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cute. It's just strange.
It caught me off guard.
Yeah, I was like,
I was waiting for the, especially because the last couple have like, you know, done something with the castle. The
something cute and weird.
So I'm always like ready for what they're gonna do with the castle. And I was like, oh,
that's a thing.
Yeah, taking a left turn on this castle. Very well. All right. And then they start like really classical opening, and then they go no, and then they do that like several times over.
Yeah, that was a little much. If they'd done one, it would have been funny, but they did, like, four, and it wasn't funny anymore. It also seemed a little too Shrek.
Yeah.
It seemed like they were trying too hard to be Shrek.
This whole movie
was trying too hard to be Shrek. Like
Shrek. That's gonna come up a lot in my notes.
Yeah.
And it's because, you know, I'm assuming this, based on this movie came out, it came out, like, right after Shrek 2, or Shrek 2 was 2004.
Right.
So, you know, right in that developmental process, where in Shrek 2 beat out Lion King for highest grossing animated movie.
Right.
So there's a lot of, this is the most DreamWorks movie we've ever seen.
I think so, yes.
So, yeah, but the first thing is like the light that looks just like the beginning of Shrek.
Yeah.
And then they opened Lion King, and Lion King got me. I giggled at Lion King. And that would have been enough, and then they did the book.
And they're really mean about the book, and I freaking love the book. Leave the book alone, Chicken Little.
I know.
And there was another one, wasn't there? Or is that just?
I think that was it.
Okay.
Because then they're like, let's start at the beginning. And originally, this was going to be, it was going to do the whole Chicken Little story. Because, by the way, this isn't Chicken Little. This is definitely a sequel to Chicken Little.
Yeah.
The way Alice in Wonderland was actually a sequel to Alice in Wonderland, the Tim Burton one. So, they were going to do the whole Chicken Little story in traditional hand-drawn animation and then bust out into the CGI stuff.
That would have been a cool idea.
Which would have been this, you know, like
Enchanted style.
Kicking it up a notch into the new cool rad world of CGI.
Cool rad!
Don Knotts was going to be the narrator and had recorded a track, but it's not there. He's also the turkey mayor, by the way.
He is the turkey mayor, I notice it.
So
there's a lot of famous people in this movie.
This is Don Knotts' last movie.
Is it?
Yeah. So, yeah.
Sad. I'm making a sad face right now, you guys.
Loving
There's
Don
a
Knotts.
Lot of famous people in this movie, though. I recognize, like, every other
person. Yeah, there's a lot of famous people
in this movie. I freaked out at Patrick Stewart. Patrick Stewart, what are you doing here?
There's a lot of, and it's a lot of really recognizable voices.
Yeah.
So that's another DreamWorks trope fits this movie. But it opens up with Chicken Little ringing the school bell. That's going to be the big thing, is how he alerts the town. So he's ringing the school bell, and it causes total uncontrollable havoc.
Ridiculous
this town,
like unnecessarily large.
And this is a town of all animal characters.
Yeah.
Which that's
kind of a range of animal characters. It's mostly like dogs and birds.
A lot of dogs, a disproportionate number of dogs to other things.
Yeah, dogs, birds, pigs.
But yeah, then there's other
turkeys,
animals, and it's some sort of like nice town, but
I just realized that I listed turkeys as a separate type of animal when I as listed birds.
Well done, Megan.
I know things about animals.
But he knocks over the water tower. I guess he done. Somehow in the chaos, the water tower gets
I didn't
knocked
understand
off.
That water tower because there was no opening to it. Like, he knocked it off, and then it kept rolling, and it was a perfect sphere, and it was like, how do you work, water tower?
I don't know.
That was odd to me. I expected there to be, like, water coming out of somewhere.
Pouring out water, but no, they went for the indie joke.
Yes, they did.
So, it crashes through, everybody watching live-action Indiana Jones.
Which is weird.
Which, you know, like, they've done some live-action interaction before, so, like, it's not the weirdest thing. But I'm really curious, like,
how much effort it took to get that, like, 5-second clip?
Yeah, like, that's not a Disney movie. And this really feels like, the whole rest of the movie, it really feels like the joke for, like, Indiana Bones, and he's a dog, and, like, in the Raiders of the Lost Bark, or some sort of, like, pun joke was, like, right there.
Yeah.
And I was like, eh. But here's the thing. The music did not play.
No, it didn't.
It played the Indiana Jones music, but that was that in that scene in Indiana Jones is not where the music plays.
No.
And I was about to be really bad at the music until 5 seconds later when that ball's rolling down the hill and it hits some cars and the car alarm goes off and they go da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
And I was like, forgiven. that's the Mickey Mouse theme song.
It is.
So I was really excited about that and I accept their indie faux pas.
Yeah, the jokes in this movie are really hit or miss for me, and a lot of the funnier ones were pop culture references I found.
Yeah.
Which managed to last pretty well, actually. A lot of the things they chose to riff on were pretty timeless, so they did a pretty good job at that. But there's a lot of really bad jokes in this movie. I did like the Indiana Jones one, though. That made me smile.
Yeah. There's a lot of jokes, and then there's a lot of just references.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, this exists in your world. So
isn't that fun?
You're like, that's not a joke. It's a thing.
That's just a thing that happens.
So, I didn't love the animation in this movie.
It's weird. And sometimes it looks weirder and sometimes it doesn't. There's a scene in the spaceship later where the lighting makes everything look absolutely plastic, like Toy Story plastic, and it looks so bad. And, like, sometimes it looks okay. I liked Chicken Little's feathers. I noticed that throughout the movie, that his feathers
look
nice.
His feathers look really good. He has something like 2,500
feathers. And a lot of the character design isn't bad. It's just the way it's animated looks weird, and I don't know if it's just because it's dated or if it was something in particular. It's something, maybe something about the texture. Something about the texture of the skin is really, like, odd and doesn't light well either, which is really problematic because there's a lot of night scenes, and it's just ugh.
It's a really big shame because every movie up until this point, even, like, Treasure Planet and Home on the Range and Dinosaur, and I'd be like, I don't like this. But I was like, but it looks so good.
That's true.
This is so pretty to look at.
That's mostly our normal trope, although I would disagree with you on Dinosaur. The water
looked amazing.
The dinosaurs themselves, not so much.
The water looked amazing, and, like, there are a bunch of dinosaurs. So I'm like, ah, oh, look at that.
Up until now, it's always been, like, this movie might be kind of bad, but damn, is it pretty. But this is just, oh. This movie is kind of okay, and it's kind of okay looking.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, okay, all right.
This was also the point, this is like right after the Indiana Jones joke when we see Chicken Little again. This was the point where I realized that all of the birds have teeth. And I cannot stand it when birds have teeth. It is so, so creepy. And it's, like, it's creepiest for the ugly duckling because she's got, like, buck teeth. But, like, every time they talked, I was like, that's weird. Stop that. Stop it. Because it's so unnecessary. Like, if you take the time to figure out animation of mouth movements with a beak, you can get away with not using teeth. As, like, Three Caballeros proved. And you know, all sorts of old, like, Looney Tunes characters, like Foghorn Leghorn doesn't have teeth.
Yeah.
Like, it is not that difficult to not make them have teeth, and they look so creepy with teeth.
I didn't notice the teeth, so it didn't.
No.
It didn't
kill
me.
It's creepy.
And I do really like the teeth in Chicken Run. Because they have Wallace and Gromit faces.
Yeah, okay, that's acceptable.
So, like, that one's fine. That's my go-to, but yeah, that's, you're right.
Birds with teeth is really weird.
There's plenty of animated birds that don't have teeth. But it finishes up the whole Chicken Little story where he's like, sky's falling, and no, it's an acorn. And he goes, no, it's totally a piece of the sky. And nobody believes him. And it's important that his dad doesn't believe him. That's the whole...
His dad is a terrible father.
That's the worst Disney dad.
He is by far the worst Disney dad, including the dead ones. Like, it'd be better if he just wasn't there. He's awful. I like, though, that they recognize that at the end of the movie several times. He's like, I'm a terrible dad. I'm like, I'm glad you're proud of it, I guess. At least Disney will own up to it, because, oh my god, he's an awful father.
Yeah, yeah.
So he, like, makes excuses for Chicken Little, whose name is Chicken Little, which I found really weird. Like, it seems weird to be a chicken and name your kid Chicken.
It's the Berenstain Bears problem.
Nobody names their kid Human. Like, that's weird.
No, that's the thing, is like they're named like brother and sister and mom and pop and makes, but the cousin is named Cousin. So it's like we have to call you Cousin.
Grandma Bear, so like what?
The whole town is catered towards Brother Bear. So he can call his sister and his mom.
But so, it seemed really weird to call a kid Chicken. If his first name had been Little, it wouldn't have been as weird. Well, still a little strange.
They all have something in their names, because they do have the Chicken. That's like the, other than this first sequence very loosely, the only other like actual reference to the original Chicken Little story is the characters' names, like Foxy Moxy and Goosey Lucy. And
they all rhyme.
Yeah, because they all rhymed in the thing. And then
But for some reason, it's less weird to call Fox Foxy than it is to call a chicken chicken.
It's because Foxy is a word that also means things that aren't physical fox.
I guess Goosey's so, pretty weird.
Yeah.
Goosey also had teeth. Which is creepy. I'm going to talk a lot about birds with teeth.
Foxy had braces. That actually...
That was really weird.
That's... So
pretty much all the personifications of animals in this movie were a little odd.
Yeah, yeah. So it cuts to 1 year later. And Chicken Little, he's going to school, and it feels like a first day of school thing, but I guess it's just going to school.
I don't know. What confused me most at this scene was that his dad drove him to the bus stop.
He's a car rider and a bus rider.
Like, is there no closer bus stop that he can't walk to?
He lives in town, like, later on, like, he lives in this whole suburb town. It's like, so really, the son's like, no, not that whole wing of
like, he even could have walked there straight out.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
I don't know.
And plus, it's like from the bus stop to the school is not that far. It would have been like 2 minutes in a car. Why bother? Especially if your kid seems to have previous trouble with getting to school on time. Why would you not bother to just drop him off in front of school?
I don't know.
That was really
also, so while they're talking, his dad, Chicken Little and his dad, in the background, there's this stork that is trying to go into the store.
I didn't even notice that.
And he walks into the window, like, three times. He walks and smacks in the window and backs up, and walks and smacks in the window and backs up. And I'm, what is this? Like, is there some sort of joke about storks that I don't know about storks and windows?
Where animators just really bored?
I don't know. Well, the thing is, like, the owner of the store comes out, and it's a bull, and then, it, like, you can see it's a China shop, so he's a bull in China. I'm like, I get that joke, but I don't get the stork walking into the window four times. So... I don't know, that drove me crazy, trying to figure out...
I claim artist boredom.
Trying to figure out why the store goes walking into this window so much.
So yeah, he gets to the bus stop, and then he doesn't get on the bus.
Yeah.
He misses the bus at the bus stop. There's ingenious. And then there's a Bare Naked Ladies song, and I love Bare Naked Ladies, so that made it better. This is my favorite part of this movie, I'm calling it now. Even in my notes, I was like, yep, this is gonna be my favorite, because I like this song.
This is a pretty fun little scene.
He has all these problems like getting to school.
Yeah,
he loses his pants.
He's very inventive and problem solving.
He is.
So I like that.
Oh, how do his glasses stay on? That's the other thing that really bothers me about his character design. He's a tiny little bird with these big plastic glasses, and he has no ears. So where do they sit? And
in those bushy feathers.
In the bushy feathers, they do fall off a lot. Like, they get knocked askew. But why would you not do like the sports glasses that had a little band? Why would you not do that?
I don't know. At least when he's playing sports.
I know he plays baseball. He doesn't wear that, and I'm like, dude.
So I don't know. I have no answer for you.
It's weird.
But yeah, he
pulled some origami pants. That was really impressive.
He does.
There are two large cases of origami in like this 5 minute segment, which I thought was really odd.
It's impressive how inventive he is. I really like it. However, this is the thing that really bothered me in a few minutes was that he like can't even be in underwear. Everybody screams in underwear. He has to make fake math homework origami pants, and that duck walks around Donald Duck style with no pants. The whole movie.
It's true.
And nary a person comments on this.
It's true.
So
weird social standards. I don't pretend to understand dog bird society. So then we're introduced to, he gets shut in his locker.
Yes.
So he doesn't get to class.
So he's late for class.
He doesn't even get to that first class. He only shows up at gym.
Yeah, you're right. He totally misses the mutton.
I thought that was clever. They learn to speak sheep, which is called mutton.
Yeah.
And Patrick Stewart is the sheep teacher. I'm like, Patrick Stewart is a sheep. Okay, I'll take it.
He lists everybody, and they're doing the joke about everybody having
rhyming names.
And they go to Morcupine Porcupine.
If I had to rank characters in this movie, it would probably be Morcupine, Porcupine, Fish Out of Water, and then the little fluffy alien thing. Because none of them talk. None of them have really stupid jokes associated. Morcupine, Porcupine is standardly funny. He's got the most funny jokes in the whole movie, which is dumb because he says like one word at a time.
He says three words. He says yo, whoa, and no. Or, no, he says yo, no, and whoa. So they all rhyme.
It's true. And he has a lot of good situational comedy. And so does Fish Out of Water, and the little fluffy thing was just cute, and it didn't talk. Pretty much, I disliked anyone who talked.
I did really like Morcupine Porcupine.
He was so awesome.
He really saved this movie for me.
Everything else was terrible, and Morcupine Porcupine.
And so they go to gym class, and...
oh my god, they're playing dodgeball. This is the one joke that honestly made me laugh really hard out loud, was they're like, the gym judge is like, we're playing dodgeball, and there'll be teams split into two teams, popular versus unpopular.
I wrote that down.
I really, really enjoyed that, because it's always like, oh, you make two teams in dodgeball in movies, and it always ends up like somehow mysteriously all of the popular kids versus all of the unpopular kids, so I liked that they made an excuse for that. That was nice.
Yeah. So that's when Chicken Little arrives.
I liked all of the moves they did to avoid dodgeballs.
Yeah.
I also didn't understand how they worked dodgeball, though, because Rena the Litter got hit like 700 times.
1,000 times.
And I was like, how does that not get you out? Aren't you supposed to leave?
I guess they're just playing free-for-all dodgeball.
Whatever. Jim Carrey wants to take a day off, basically.
Constant throwing of everything.
Oh, I guess dodgeball. He didn't really talk about the secondary characters. So his main friends are Fish Out of Water, which is a fish with a,
fish with a
like
scuba
old
tank?
old school like
scuba, yeah, so like it's a scuba thing, yeah.
Yeah,
and it's filled with water,
like 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea style.
Yep.
And Rena the Litter is a giant pig.
That's another thing in this movie is like the character sizes
are,
which you know,
odd.
Yeah, because Chicken Little, you know, he's small. But then he's, like, he's really small.
Yeah, especially in comparison to his dad and Runt. They're both, like, about the same size.
He's maybe the size of Runt's face.
Yeah.
His whole body.
Really tiny.
Yes.
And, Ugly Duckling's a little bit bigger than him.
Yeah. By the way, I waited for this joke this whole movie, and it never happened.
What?
It's a movie about the sky falling,
mm-hmm.
and there's a duck in it,
mm-hmm.
and nobody yelled, duck, and the duck goes, what?
It's true, that never happened.
The whole movie.
Disney should have hired
him. I waited for that joke. I was like, surely this is not even that great of a joke.
No, but it sounds like something they put as a little
joke
side joke.
That has to happen in this movie, and it doesn't.
It's sad.
And I sit there and wait, and it never comes.
But yeah, Run of the Litter is a giant pig. Oh my god, there were so many fat jokes in conjunction with Run of the Litter. None of them were funny. They were always just problematic and like... annoying more than anything.
Those are
like his three main friends. And Fish Out of Water, again, does not talk. Like, okay.
Fish Out of Water is cool with everything.
It's true. He's so, like, just
chill.
Very chill. Yeah, he's a very chill fish.
For being a fish out of water.
Yeah.
So, but then, why does the gym teacher leave?
The gym teacher leaves because Morcupine Porcupine gets stuck with a bunch of balls and he has to take him to the nurse. That was really funny.
Yeah, I like that.
Reasons I love Morcupine Porcupine.
And so then it turns out, Foxy Loxy like,
throws a ball at Chicken Little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Foxy Loxy and Goosey Lucy, who are the popular kids.
I did really enjoy that Goosey Lucy was like a really angry goose. That was really fun.
Goosey Lucy was crazy.
Well, if you've ever had an encounter with a goose,
you understand why
Goosey Lucy was crazy.
It works.
It was accurate gooseness.
So, but there's a lot of like slapstick and, you know, over the top, tripping and falling, crazy and, like, humor.
Some of it's funny and some of it just doesn't work.
Like, it's okay, it's funny, but, like, it alters, it's like, it's plot points that, that these characters, like, crazy trip over themselves and fall inconceivably long distances to do things. And so, that was one of the things. So I was like, that doesn't 100% work for me because, yeah, they throw Chicken Little to the top of the gym.
Yeah.
And he slides down and hits the fire alarm.
And then it gets wet, so his pants are gone.
Yes.
And his dad has to come in to talk to the principal. The principal is also the principal in Goofy Movie.
The principal is Wallace Shawn.
Yes, who is also the principal in the Goofy Movie. That was really weird to me, that they were both, he was a principal two times, and the principals look nothing alike.
He's inconceivable in
yes.
in the principal.
Yes,
and here's the thing. Here's the thing. All the famous voices, tons of famous and really recognizable voices here. And I'm really okay with all of them except for this one, because his character is really tall.
That's true, and he's very nice.
He's very nice. Even, like, usually when he plays animated characters, he plays really short, stubby animated characters.
Well, it bothered me that he didn't talk about science slumber parties. because he previously played a principal, and that's what I remember that principal best for, I automatically expected him to be giving speeches about how to properly use your summer break to have science slumber parties.
So, this is where I dubbed Jingle's dad worst Disney dad ever, because this is where he was just being terrible.
He's pretty consistently terrible. There's probably at least five scenes in here where I was like, no, stop it. Talk to your son.
Yep. And so Jingle in his, like, desperate attempt to bond with his dad. His dad was a baseball star in high school.
Oh my god. So this scene is just so awkward. They're, like, driving home and they're having this, like, half-assed conversation. Like, neither of them is trying to communicate at all.
Yeah.
And they're just, oh, it's so awkward. It was just not fun for me to watch. He's like, can we just skip this? Can I just fast forward?
That was awkward. And then, so they get to the baseball montage. I guess everybody who tries out gets to be on the team.
Oh, I also really hated the song they played during that.
During the
sadness montage.
Oh.
There's, like, a really brief, like, sad conversation.
Yeah,
nonsense.
Right.
And there's, like, a really terrible saxophone solo. And it's just like, no, stop it. This is not making this better. The baseball. Okay, so there's a sign-up list. First of all, it's a co-ed baseball team, which is weird. Because even in middle school, we had softball and baseball. And
this is high. They say this is high school. They don't.
Yeah, there's a sign on the wall that says middle school.
I'm pretty sure they're in high school.
He was in high school. His dad was a high school baseball star.
Okay, that's right. Because I was like, I know they said the words high school.
Because in the gym, there's a thing on the wall that says middle school, middle school.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, and plus they're like not
although, that's a lot of dedication for
middle school
baseball. Like high school, I can see, like, a town really behind their high school baseball team.
I could even see, like a outside school baseball team that would make sense for this, but, like, this entire situation seems weird. So there's a sign-up list for the random co-ed baseball team. And, although I did like that the girl was the best player on the baseball team. That was nice.
Foxy Loxy.
I didn't like Foxy Loxy, but I liked that she was good at baseball. it's a co-ed baseball team. There's a sign-up list. And then there's no tryouts. So Chicken Little mysteriously makes it onto the team. I guess there weren't enough people to sign up. I don't know.
That
seemed weird.
They clearly had enough for him to sit on the bench all season.
Yeah, I guess so. Which seems, like, not useful.
I don't know. And, here's the one thing I did really like, though. So
there's also, like, seven dogs that look exactly
the same.
Like,
there's, like,
weird.
This montage of Foxy Loxy doing really, really good, and getting her picked in paper, and Chicken Little feeling bad about it. And one of the times, you know, there's a big thing, and Foxy Loxy, hometown hero, and she has a picture. And underneath it, one of the other stories, the headline was, "Exciting Stuff!"
I didn't notice that. That's good. My favorite part about the newspapers was that his dad had a newspaper that was printed backwards. Like, the headline and the main picture was on, like, the he was holding it, and it was on the left side.
The side,
like,
that would be the back.
Is your paper printed in Japanese, sir? Like, what? That's so weird. And that could have just been, like, staged better and not been a problem. I don't know why no one would have thought of that. Like, why is that paper backwards?
I don't know.
It's, like, the final game.
Final standard classic.
Final inning.
Down by one, down, yeah.
I know nothing about baseball, but I can get that. Final inning.
Final inning, down by one with a runner on base. So
Is there one runner or two?
There was one runner because they were down by one. So the one runner would have tied. And then
I got it. Baseball.
Yes.
Sports.
That's basic rules of baseball. But here's the thing. The big tragedy for the team is that Chicken Little is up to bat.
Right.
And Chicken Little. But I don't think Chicken Little has batted all season. But you go through the batting order. You know, you just start at one. I don't know how Chicken Little would never have been up to bat. Like, so if they have a rule where you can skip people if they're bad, but why don't they employ that rule now?
I mean, I guess they tried to make it seem like everyone was injured because there were seven dogs that looked exactly like they were all injured. I'm curious if that was intentional or they just, like, ran out of time.
I don't know why you can just, like, send Foxy Lexi in anyway.
I don't know, because she's, like, freaking out.
Yeah. But here's the thing, and I was thinking about this the whole baseball montage, and I'm really glad the coach pointed this out.
Yeah.
Is that Chicken Little is tiny, as we've stated.
He's super tiny.
So his strike zone, his acceptable strike zone, is literally smaller than the baseball.
Yeah.
So
he didn't have
strike him out.
No.
Unless he swings. And so, but if that was true, why would you not always send him in?
Right.
You send him in first.
Yeah.
And then you send Foxy Loxy in. And she hits a home run. So you get two runs for the price of one. And I know this because I'm left-handed. And when I was in Little League, coaches would send me in first because kid coaches were really bad at throwing for left-handed people. And they would hit me with the ball more so I can get on base and get extra runs.
You're so sneaky, Joe.
I was this literal sacrificial lamb for the baseball team.
Why do people not fake more left-handed kids? That's so funny.
I know, that's terrible. Awful. It's terrible.
It's funny and awful.
So, but that was the thing. Okay, but this whole segment, like, really made me laugh. This is, like, the best 20-30 seconds of the whole movie. Because there's, like, this is the part where, like, they crammed the whole movie with jokes. But, like, this whole section, every joke in a row worked. Because I really liked that the whole outfield got preoccupied.
That was really funny. When the bull got it stuck on his horn, that was really funny.
So like, and the dog's
chasing. The dog was chasing his tail.
Nobody's caring about it, and he's tiny. And so the pitch is thrown way over Chicken Little's head.
And he tries to swing at it.
And so it's thrown, and the ump goes, ball. And then Chicken Little swings with these terrible slow reflexes. And he's like, strike?
He's like confused. Like, were you trying? I don't.
And then, so he gets the two strikes, and he's looking, everybody's going, no, don't swing, don't swing. And he looks at Porcupine, and he goes, no.
Porcupine's the best.
Which is the best part of the whole movie, so just,
no.
But he does hit that final ball, and then there's a frantic running of the bases.
He runs the wrong way.
Yes,
he runs the wrong way. I at least know which way to run in baseball. But how did he watch an entire season's worth of games and not realize the direction to run? Like, that's just sad.
I don't know.
And then he like, barely makes it to the base, of course.
Yes.
And they win the game.
Yes. So they win the game. Hurrah. And they carry on. His dad's proud of him, finally.
Yep.
And so he's going home, and they have this feel good moment, but no talking. They don't have talking or closure, which is the important thing in the movie. That
they never talk.
That Abby the Duck is trying to get him to do is talk to his dad, communicate.
She's so smart, and it drives me nuts because she's so underappreciated by everyone.
She's so smart, but she's getting all her intelligence from the animal version of Cosmo. Yeah,
that's really funny. I enjoyed how intelligent Cosmo seemed in this movie. I was like, first of all, a girl your age should not be reading Cosmo. Second of all, there are no sex tips on the cover of this magazine.
But if you're going to read it, that's all the correct articles to read when reading Cosmo.
It's true.
Well done, I'm Cosmo and 17 and all those.
All those, like, standard.
Yeah, grocery store checkout magazines.
Yeah.
So he's really happy, and, you know, everything he feels is going good. And then another piece of the sky falls.
Yep.
And so we can finally get back to the Chicken Little part of this story.
Yeah.
This whole baseball thing never comes back into the story.
It was really unnecessary.
I
mean, it was supposed to make them feel more comfortable with each other, I guess, but that didn't help.
It really just pads this movie out to movie length.
I mean, it was an enjoyable scene, but it was there was no reason for it to be
there. This whole, like, extended subplot.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
It took at least 20 minutes.
It's to make the movie length.
I guess like, so. It just seems
silly. It's like in How the Grinch Stole Christmas is what it made me think of when, like, there's this whole subplot where the Grinch has to go and, like, try and be the Christmas man in Whoville or whatever it was. And he's like, oh, now we can actually get back to the book.
Oh, by the way, I forgot that I also really liked the fact that the mayor had those, like, Secret Service guys who prompted him. Those were nice.
Oh, I do like them. They prompt him a lot. And one of the prompts was, you know, it was like stand, wave, check zipper. And I was like freeze framing, trying to see if he was wearing pants to check his zipper. I think he was. Like,
but you wouldn't have seen it.
No, because he has his like really big shirt overflowing onto his tiny little turkey legs.
His jacket is, you know, got to fit the rest of him.
Yeah, that's.
Anyway, back to real plot.
Yes.
So the Skyfall is a little hexagon piece again. Mm-hmm. And he freaks out, obviously.
Yeah.
And he immediately doesn't tell his dad and continues to not tell his dad. And I'm like, this has been bothering you your whole life. And it's sitting right on your floor, changing colors and stuff. Like, you can't run downstairs and be like, hey, dad, remember that thing that I told you about one time? Here it is.
Yep.
It's not that hard. Oh, my God. The fact that they refuse to communicate with each other drives me nuts. Because it's not, like, it's not even, like, difficult things to communicate. Well, okay, some of it's difficult to be like, you know, like, you don't love me enough. But it's, like, it's not difficult to be like, hey, Dad, look, here's this hexagon.
Here.
Like,
ugh. Here it is.
Drives me nuts. Yeah,
so he learns, like, it basically emulates whatever it's in front of.
Also, a random note, their doorknobs are shaped like eggs. I thought that was adorable.
Their doorknobs are shaped like eggs. And
their house looks like a chicken coop.
Their house looks like a chicken coop, and they have chicken wire.
They're in their windows. In their windows, that was cute.
And, like, the rail banister is, like,
isn't it? Yeah.
So I do like that. I do like the house design.
Anyway.
For all the character design, I really like their house.
I really like the town in general. Yeah. It looks nice. It reminds me of the Back to the Future town.
Yeah.
That was a plus.
Yeah, really classic standard town.
So they cut to this really stupid Spice Girls scene. It was like a karaoke scene with Runt and Abby, and they're singing Spice Girls.
This is like, this is another thing, like, when they're clearly going down the checklist of DreamWorks movies.
Yeah, it's
like
karaoke.
Popular songs being sung by characters.
Yeah.
It's like Spice Girls is in there, and then I Will Survive comes in. And
yep.
So, like, they throw them all on Runt. But.
So, they come over to try and figure it out. Oh, and Fish is there.
Fish is there, because Fish turns it on and flies out the window.
Fish. Yeah, he gets stuck on the hexagon.
Yeah.
And goes to, first, though, we have to have, like, a five-minute list conversation. Of pee jokes. And I'm like, this is not funny to begin with, and it's just getting more and more not funny as it goes on.
But it's on the DreamWorks checklist. Yeah, the pee jokes.
Yeah, it's true. There's some burp jokes later.
There are burp jokes. From the pig. Yeah. Second movie in a row with an excessively burping pig.
Yes, it's true.
From the pig. That's
He gets stuck in the hexagon and he goes flying off, and that he's got a glow stick. Glow stick's very convenient.
Their Spice Girls thing was like a mini pseudo rave.
That was really dumb. So. but it got
the glow stick.
The glow stick was very convincing. I was totally
the plot point glow stick came in, so it was really helpful.
It goes off to the, they follow it to the field, baseball field, and it goes up into the ship.
So, this is the point where you remember last podcast, where you were really upset about the plot seemingly taking a giant left turn out of nowhere.
Aliens!
This movie is apparently about an alien invasion.
Aliens!
And you only thought about, like, halfway through the movie. I paused the movie at this point. I had watched 40 minutes and 60 seconds. I had 40 minutes and 23 seconds left.
Oh, that's so funny. At least they weren't yelling.
This movie, and this is, like, the biggest, like, plot twist.
I remember the first time I watched this, just assuming that there were just, like, pieces to the sky, and that, like, he would go, like, help whoever built the sky fix it or whatever, and then there were aliens. I was like, oh. Okay, you do that. R&B over here. Not making rope jokes.
The hexagon pieces are pieces falling off of this alien spacecraft.
Yep.
That has.
I did like the aliens, so I don't have as much of a problem with it because I really enjoy the aliens.
this is the plottest out of left field thing. This is the most.
It's true. It's really weird.
And that's the thing. Like, this really feels like, the whole movie feels like, you know, we're making a Disney movie, so it has to be a pre-existing story. Here's a story. And then, like, 2 weeks later, like, there's no story here.
Yeah,
we've already told the higher-ups.
Nobody wants to watch a movie about some stupid bird making bread.
We are literally 3 pages, and we're out of story. This is going to be a 3-minute movie.
Yep.
What if we added aliens to it? So, some aliens come out of the flying saucer that has landed on the baseball.
Yes.
I guess that's the tiny tie-in to baseball.
Yeah, it does
land on the baseball field.
There's no mention of baseball passes.
So,
and they see fish out of water up in the little bubble part of the spaceship on top.
So they
go in to get him.
And on their way, they meet this eyeball floaty.
He looks like troll hair.
He looks like a treble.
Orange troll hair.
He does.
Yep. With little eyes and cute little feet. He's really, really cute.
He is pretty adorable.
I like the general alien designs. They're nice.
And he's intrigued by Chicken Little, and so he kind of like hops down and starts falling, but he's got tiny legs. And
they're so cute.
Especially compared to Chicken Little. So he's got tiny legs.
He looks a lot like a Muppet to me.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see the Muppet.
Little stripy legs and multiple eyes. Multiple eyes. Yeah. Everybody has multiple eyes. Three eyes. Specifically. And furriness.
So they discover that they think that the Earth is about to get invaded because they see a map of the solar system with X's leading all the way up to Earth and then a circle on Earth. So it's like, oh, they're next.
Yep.
So they run around. They run away. There was a pretty cute little scene with the door that made me giggle.
Oh, yeah.
Where these aliens are going after Chicken Little and they have an open close button on each side.
That was really funny.
So they
just keep it.
I did like that.
This is where the lighting looks really terrible, though. The lighting in the ship makes them look awful.
Yeah.
Well, just looks really bad. Especially, Runt's face the whole time. I was just like, oh, God, stop moving. Stop talking. We don't need to focus on you.
Yeah.
There's some pretty not funny jokes about hyperventilating there, too. That was pretty dumb.
With the bag.
That was so not funny.
Yeah.
So
they escape from the spaceship. And they're going to ring the school bell.
Yeah,
it's gonna be the same thing all over again. And you know it's gonna be the same thing all over again.
But there's a fat kid getting stuck joke first when they leave the spaceship.
Yep.
For like 10 minutes.
Yep.
That was not funny.
Ron got stuck.
Like, okay, fine.
They also had to do a Signs reference, so they're hiding in some cornfield.
Is that purposefully a Signs reference? I thought that was just necessary for the crop circle joke.
Like, I would assume it was a crop circle joke, except so much of this is like, there's a Raiders of the Lost Ark reference, there's a King Kong reference,
true.
Like, in the middle of nowhere.
That's because fish out of water is really good at origami.
But there's no setup to this King Kong origami that takes place in the gym.
It was just fun.
And so, like, just because, like, and then there's, you know, the aliens are clearly War of the Worlds. So, like, there's so many references already that I figure, you know what, that's probably definitely Signs.
Yeah.
Since Signs has, you know, just has been a thing.
Yeah.
So they go and they ring the bell.
Yep.
And then there's an alien invasion. It's this way, quickly. And then they finish some
fervent. Somewhere in here are those, like, 400 burp jokes that weren't funny, too.
Yeah, run like burps while rolling down a hill or something.
It was just not necessary at all, and it wasn't funny, and it was, like, ill-placed. Blech. I did not like it. No, thank you.
I really like burp jokes. I think
that they're good when they're constructive. It's the same thing with burp jokes and fart jokes and pee jokes. Like, all of those are funny.
That's what I mean. Like, Pumbaa's hysterical.
Pumbaa's hysterical. But you just have to place them well and use them well, and they did not do that at all with this movie. There were no fart jokes that I noticed.
I don't think there were any fart jokes.
But there's plenty of
but there were enough pee and burp to make up for it.
No, we're just, and they just dragged them out. No, stop, stop it. Stop.
Yeah.
They get out. They get back to the house somehow, don't they?
They've rung the bell. Everybody's out, and so they, you know, they're like, the spaceship's on the baseball field. And they run to it, and everybody's behind Chicken Little, and it's, you know, revving up, and you know that they're gonna do like Candace and Phineas and Ferb.
Yeah.
Like, it was right there a second ago.
Yeah.
And
then they go back to the house.
The penny thing did make me giggle.
The penny thing.
Because I did really like the mayor. Just about everything that
the mayor
did.
So, that was good.
So the mirror, like, everybody's running in the mirror, is like, oh, a penny, and everybody stops. And then, like, later when it, they do a great callback, or later.
Yeah.
And, like, he can't
the whole evening was a bust, except for that penny. But his dad did the same thing his dad did last time, because his dad is clearly learned nothing in a year, which is nice, especially about how to interact with his son.
But the important thing, plot-wise at least, is that the little orange alien had followed them out, and then the spaceship leaves without the little orange alien.
Yes.
So,
So, they go back home, and... Oh, I am so lost in the plot right now.
Yeah.
The whole rest of this movie is all, like, kind of jumbled with, like, chase scenes, so I don't remember where things go.
So Chicken Little's being sad.
Yeah.
Clearly. And the little, basically...
Oh, God! No, first I have to reference, I forgot that there was a Girls Gone Wild joke in that sequence, because they had taped Chicken Little freaking out, and they were like, well, at least I got all this footage for Chickens Gone Wild, and I was like... That is an unacceptable joke to make. Please stop. Oh, God, that was so uncomfortable. Oh, no, thank you.
So the little orange alien, I guess he just arrives at Chicken Little's house, and Chicken's like, oh, my goodness, that alien from the ship.
Yeah.
So, but Fish is there. Fish and Amy and Runt are all there to comfort him in his time of sadness.
His
time of poor fatherhood. Then Fish knows the language of the aliens.
Apparently.
And they know the language of Fish. And then they learn the alien language, like, really fast.
Yeah.
Like, the wind taught them fast.
Yep.
It was really, really mean. And then there's an alien invasion.
Yep.
Like, a bunch of aliens come down, and... They start, you know, zapping stuff.
Yep.
And we learned later that they zapped him, like, into alien purgatory.
I totally thought they had killed Foxy Lawson. I was like, that is no way to treat your childhood villain. Like, I know she's mean, but that's unacceptable.
It really made me laugh, like, because it's this big zap where, like, Foxy Lawson is like, zap, she's dead.
Yeah.
So it really made me laugh, but at the same time, I was like, this would not.
This is not okay.
Wait a minute. And then they start zapping a lot of it. I'm like, the body count is going crazy.
They got zapped, yeah.
And I was like, that was the thing. Like, I really thought for a minute, like, they might have just straight up killed Foxy Lawson. Like, she just stopped existing in this movie. But, like, then when it sounds like, you can't get rid of this kind of body count
in a
Disney movie like this.
So eventually, Chicken Little and his dad and Abby end up in the theater, which was mysteriously very quickly repaired. I guess it was a year ago.
Yes.
The Indiana Jones
incident was a year ago.
It's repaired now.
Yeah.
And they finally, like, talk about their feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Why did they not go to therapy? They should have just gone. None of this would have happened if therapy had worked. But anyway.
They talk out their feelings.
And he admits to being a horrible dad, which is nice. It's like, yep. I'm a pretty terrible father. Like, thanks. Thank you for admitting that. That's nice.
Well, here's the thing. So, he says, like, you know, I've been a bad father. I haven't been supportive when I should be. I really want to support you. And then, for the rest of the movie, Chicken Little has these ideas that any normal father would not be supportive of.
And he's, like, overly supportive.
There's gotta be this happy medium.
Yeah, no.
You're being really supportive of these really dangerous, unsafe things for your child.
He's, like, scaling a water tower, and he's like, totally acceptable. This sounds good.
Because I'm supportive.
Yeah.
He's like, oh. Also, they just throw in this love story.
Stupid, unnecessary romance plot that lasts, like, 2 seconds.
It was, like, mentioned that she thought he was cute, like, one line at the very beginning of the movie, and then ignored up until this point. So, and it was hardly mentioned here. It was just like, by the way, he was like, by the way, I find you very attractive. Kiss, carry on with the plot.
Yeah, like, oh, by the way.
Although it did incapacitate her pretty much for the rest
of the
movie.
That was really funny. I did really like her, like, operating the brakes in the fire truck and just being really loopy. That was pretty delightful.
La-di-da.
So, yeah, they get, the fire truck thing is just, oh.
Yeah, I don't know why they got a fire truck.
I don't know why Runt doesn't fit in the fire truck. Like, first of all, There have to be doors on the fire truck. You can't just have a fire truck where you jump in the window. That doesn't make any sense.
Dixon has a fire truck.
Yeah, basically, he's hanging out the window of the fire truck and he, like, is driving. First of all, he shouldn't be driving because he's in middle school.
Yeah.
And second of all, why was this fat joke necessary? It was so dumb.
The thing is, like, throughout the movie, like, I've noticed, like, some of the cars are really strangely shaped because they're very big animals. Or very big characters because, like, apparently the animal you are has no effect on how size you are.
Because giant chickens. Giant chickens.
So, but yeah, there's these very large cars.
But, like, when you see the outside of the fire truck, there's no reason he wouldn't be able to fit in it. I could understand his feet not reaching because he's got really short legs. So that would have been acceptable, but having him hang out the window was just dumb.
I don't think character design wise, he could have sat in the seat and not been busting through the ceiling.
He could have been super hunched. That would have been fine. It just seemed really dumb to make him hang out.
Well, this was all very out of control, and like they're trying to return the alien to his parents. They've deciphered that's the thing. It's not an invasion. It's a rescue mission.
Right.
So they go up and they like have the alien and they're like holding it up, right. And then they keep it. Can you not, like, maybe I don't even just, like, set it down and, like, nudge it?
Usher it towards the... I mean, I guess they're afraid it's going to get hit by something because there are a lot of random pedestrian cars and cars.
Because it's crazy panic right now.
So they get to the... they're trying to get to the top of the...
Town hall, which also has
a bell. Apparently there are lots of bells on the top of the... Is this town hall or is this school?
No, this is town hall.
Okay.
Although I'm not sure...
Are you sure? I thought it was school.
I don't think it has a bell, though. No, because it has like a dome,
okay.
But there's no bell in it, but
right.
like, they
okay.
do have to
yeah.
climb up the dome
okay.
and stuff.
So, they get to the top of town hall, fat dad can't fit out of the door again.
Although he didn't.
It's just unnecessary amounts of, like,
well, here's
fat
the thing.
People can't fit through doors.
The dad's
so
not fat, the dad is clearly, like, built.
He's
not like, you know, they have lots of, like, eating jokes and fat jokes.
Yeah.
With Ron, but, like, he was a sports star in high school. Like, he's clearly this, like, ripped chicken.
But he can't fit through the door. I don't understand why this general area is not accessible to people larger than Chicken Little.
I was like, to be perfectly fair, it's not that he can't fit. It's that Chicken Little can fit.
That's
the anomaly in this town, is that Chicken Little can fit through this tiny thing.
That's true.
And then this part where, like, he, you know, I really like every crazy MacGyver invention he's had up until this point.
This is just
But then he, like,
dumb.
Licks his head feathers.
His, what's it called?
The thing on top of a chicken head.
It's a rooster head. I don't remember what it's called.
So, but he, like,
comb.
Yes, a comb. And he, like, is able to, like, stick it like those sticky hands you got at the dentist.
He did exactly the opposite thing that happened to him in gym, but he did it upwards. She didn't make any sense.
Defied gravity.
Yeah.
Like
the sticky octopi things.
Yeah. So it was, I didn't like that. And they got out there. And his dad and him get zapped.
Yeah.
And then
they're in this, like, hammer space area.
Yeah.
Everybody's there.
Everybody who's been zapped. And then they...
I'm glad they weren't dead.
They meet the aliens, who all speak English, other than the one alien that...
I was thinking he was too little, but that, like, still doesn't make a whole lot
they
of sense.
Solidly communicate with him.
Yeah. I don't know. It's very weird.
I don't know. I don't know what it is.
I did really enjoy this family, though. I really liked the alien family, because the first thing you hear is this, like, big booming angry voice, and these, like, full-on, like, Wizard of Oz-style, like, eyes up in the air, And the mom comes in and she's like, "Are you using your big voice again?" I'm like, "Oh, that's nice. I like that."
I did really like the alien family, and I really liked the fact that it was like they're like, "Oh, you bring up along this understanding? Oh my goodness, okay."
Conflict over. They were like really understanding. That was really nice.
Like this whole conflict got summed up in like 30 seconds.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was a quick conversation.
Yeah, that was nice.
I like that.
So they explained that they come to their planet every year for acorns, because it's the only planet in the area with acorns, and that's where they have all the little other planets.
Rick's planet.
And they've made some joke about their, like, graphically insufficient sign thing, which is funny. Because they live in Oaky Oaks, I should mention that. So it's got a big acorn on it.
There's a sign that says best acorns in the universe.
Their team is the acorns. It's very acorn-based, yeah.
Yes. They've zapped everybody back, and everybody's fine except for Foxy.
Except for Foxy, who's now, like, super sunshine and giggles.
He's a really big Southern Belle kind of character.
Yeah, with, like, the most insufficient parasol in the history of mankind.
And we're informed by this by Alien Gronk.
Alien Gronk! I love it!
He's, like, making
a soldier dude in this little thing. He's got, like, a crew cut, like, an alien crew cut, and he's chatting about Foxy Lexi, and I'm like, Alien Gronk, I love you.
I wonder, like, is he just, like, hanging out?
And Foxy Studios just like, I'm bored, you guys.
They're, like, making Kronk's new groove during Home on the Range, and this time, and they're like, we need somebody to say this voice, like, this one line. And they just, like, hand him a microphone, like, I don't know, there we go. Problem solved.
I love him, though, so every time I hear his voice, it makes me happy.
So, they finish it up, and they, you know, his dad's proud of him, and happy ending as happy endings go.
Yeah.
And they decide to, they talk about, oh, we're going to make a movie out of this.
I love the movie.
I did really like the movie. I like the movie, and I like that
I would have preferred Adam West Chicken Little to this entire movie.
Well, here's the thing. So, you know how, like, especially at this point, all these movies have a video game tie-in?
Yeah.
So this one had two video game tie-ins.
Did it have this one?
And one of them was this one. Was the movie with
the... How did you not know that? I need to play that video game. That sounds so fun.
It's called Chicken Little Ace in Action.
Is it really?
Because,
oh my god,
because he's,
amazing.
You know, Ace is, yeah, his name in the movie. So yeah, I absolutely want to play
that.
That's
amazing.
So I did really like that. That was enjoyable. It actually went on for a lot longer than I expected.
Me too.
Which I was okay with all in all.
Yeah,
because
this is
one
awesome.
Of the most enjoyable parts of the movie.
But the problem with it was the fact that, like, after I'd watched that, I was like, oh, this movie was not that. That's a shame.
Yeah.
Because that was really funny.
So, and then credits. Credits get a stereotypical DreamWorks singing and dancing during the credits.
That was cute.
You gotta hit. I mean, I liked it, but it's really DreamWorks.
Very DreamWorks. End with a dance party always.
Yep. Yep. So, and then it ends with the castle that I'm familiar with.
It does.
I was really happy to see that castle.
I missed your castle.
Because I know that, you know, we're getting into movies I liked again, and I'm like, yeah, it's coming back.
We're almost there.
So that was
Chicken Little. Fine. It was better than Home on the Range, I thought.
I'm gonna give it to Home on the Range over Chicken Little.
It was uglier than Home on the Range, but I enjoyed it more. Overall.
And
dinosaurs in there, too. Like, bottom three. Those are my bottom three in no specific order.
Like, I think I'm gonna give it to Home on the Range because, like, both of them have really, like, single moments
that I really like. Yeah.
And, like, you know, the single character, like, Porcupine. Like,
well,
one character that I really loved. And I really liked the nephews in Home on the Range. And the nephews were just in it more.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
Home on the Range
that's
wins
true.
Out by that.
I mean, by and large, the animation is much better in Home on the Range.
Yeah.
But there were more scenes of this movie I liked than scenes in Home on the Range.
I mean, and it does. It just, like, it feels so much like they've, like, cut out the checklist for DreamWorks. And
just went through.
And, like, and that's, you know, doesn't automatically, because DreamWorks has made movies that I really, really love.
Yeah.
But because of that, it makes this movie feel like a movie to be successful rather than to be good.
Right. Yeah, it totally feels like, oh, this is DreamWorks' formula. They're doing well right now. We better copy that. Which is really uncomfortable for me, because DreamWorks tried to do that same thing with Disney, so it feels a little sad. Mm.
So, and that's, you know, and it's just because that kind of feel taints the whole movie for me.
Yeah.
That you're like, oh, this is where they're trying to...
Especially because this is when they were like, oh, we're only going to make 3D movies from now on. And I'm like, oh.
You're like, no.
Is this what they're all going to be like? Because I might opt out of that.
It's like, I'm gonna start over. Just stop. This movie from right now on.
Yep.
So, but we're doing Meet the Robinsons next.
Meet the Robinsons is better.
It is. Like, the next couple, like, all the way back up to present day, like, it's almost a perfect stepladder of, like,
it's
improvement
true.
All the way. And
it's
I'm really
true.
Excited about that.
I haven't seen Bolt yet, but I trust your opinion of Bolt, so.
So, Bolt made me cry.
Bolt made you cry.
Yes.
Meet the Robinsons made me
Bolt
cry.
Bolt has a dog in it.
Oh, that's true.
And they do the things that they do when there's dogs in movies.
Oh, I hate those things that they do when there's dogs in movies, Homeward Bound.
Yes.
But I do like Meet the Robinsons.
So I do like Meet the Robinsons. There's a lot of improvement.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of improved story.
And better jokes.
That's really what it comes down to, is like, you can make a 3D movie, you can make a 2D movie, you can make,
It doesn't matter if the plot is good and the characters are relatable and the jokes aren't awful. Just awful.
This is like a solid example of that.
Yeah.
So.
Awkward.
But we move on. Yeah. I'm really glad we didn't decide to start this podcast a few years ago. It's like the most recent one.
Like, oh.
Like,
remember when Disney was good, you guys? Yeah. No, we got some good.
We've waited long enough that we get an upswing.
Yes, it's so good.
We've suffered through these past few weeks. And yep. Now we're coming back. I'm so excited.
Me too.
All right. So next week, meet the Robinsons. Until then, bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.